Last case for argument, United States v. Garcia, Mr. Sangal.
Good morning. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Attorney Pats. What is the legal standard for the installation of an electronic tracking device, in this case a GPS, which was installed on Mr. Garcia's vehicle under cover of night on May 26th of 2005? Is the appropriate standard one of reasonable suspicion or probable cause? That issue is unresolved in various circuits, and the Supreme Court, although they have expressed interest at one point in 1981 in a dissenting opinion from a denial of writ of certiorari to take up that very issue. In this particular case, the district court fashioned a reasonable suspicion test, a two-prong test, that if reasonable suspicion was established that the individual was engaged in criminal activity.
Why do you need that? I mean, you don't need anything at all for to follow someone around, right?
Well, that's true, but this is much more than that.
What about installing surveillance cameras?
On an individual's private property or in the public?
So you can follow someone around.
I missed the first part of your question, Judge.
We have a million surveillance cameras.
Sure.
And Chicago is busy installing cameras. So if you have cameras on every corner, you can watch a car, right? You can follow a car, you know.
That's true. And we're.
But do you need reasonable suspicion for that?
Well, we're not. No, because I would argue
so
that you can.
All right. So now, what if you have a satellite overhead, and it focuses a laser beam or something on a car, and then follows it around?
Well, we're not. That's an interesting question. We're not contesting that.
That's Google Earth.
Right. Which is an interesting program. I guess the answer is that you can do that, but the main crux of our argument is that when
you do that, suppose that every car, the paint job or the dust or something on every car is slightly different. So if you just put your finger on the car. Like a DNA swab or something. Just take a little finger. Then you can put that into a computer, and that'll tell the satellite, to follow it around. Is that illegal?
Well, I think under Supreme Court law, that there is no expectation of privacy in the exterior of the car.
What if you sneak up the car and you put you attach a micro dot to the bumper? And that micro dot then is connected to the satellite or the surveillance camera and so on, and enables the police to follow the car everywhere. It emits a beep. It's just a little micro dot.
On the exterior of the vehicle?
Right.
I think that could be a problem because it interferes with the meaningful.
Right. That's the same as this case, right? It doesn't really matter whether it's a millimeter across or an inch across, right?
Well, as far as the actual object that's installed, I would agree with that. But
so what's the difference, right? I mean, you don't interfere with the operation of the car. It doesn't slow the car down. It doesn't mar its paint job. It doesn't listen to conversations inside the car. It doesn't photograph inside the car. It just is a substitute for tailing the driver. Or following him with a satellite or surveillance cameras or what have you. So,
well,
why make a constitutional issue out of such a trivial difference?
Well, I don't know. It's not a trivial difference if it's a meaningful interference with that individual's proprietary interest.
There's no more interference with the plaintiff's interest than there is if with a surveillance camera, right? That's what, right?
Well,
If it's so small that you don't see it, you don't know it's there, that's, of course, the whole object. You're not supposed to know it's there. What difference does it make? How does it affect your behavior?
Well, because an individual has a right to exclude others from interfering with their personal property.
What's the interference?
Well, I don't know. I mean, why judge?
Well,
do you?
If you don't know, that's not very helpful to your case.
Let me explain. What I'm suggesting is, I don't know what this little micro dot you're talking about impact would have on a vehicle.
I'm telling you. You put the little micro dot on the vehicle, and all that does is identify the vehicle to a camera or a radar or what have you. And that enables it to be followed around. You know, it's like these James Bond movies where you have they're installing them in animals now. It's an electronic device that emits radiation, which is picked up by some sensor, equivalent of a camera, and enables the person operating the sensor to follow the movements of the vehicle. And you agree it can be done by following someone around or by having a satellite follow it around. So what difference does it make if there's this tiny thing not inside the car? They haven't broken and entered. It's just stuck onto the bumper, and it could be microscopic. So what possible interference could it have with the driver?
Well, if it interferes with the electronic components of the vehicle. Well, if it doesn't, I understand the court's point, but if it does.
What's the difference between that in this case?
Well,
this didn't affect the driving.
Well, no, because he didn't know that it was there.
So
but the point is that
in my case, except in size, but still, how large was it? Was this device?
I'm not even sure. I just know that it was placed underneath his bumper, out of public view, hidden, obviously, for obvious reasons.
So it wasn't interfering with the operation of the car. It wasn't disclosing anything inside the car, you know, in terms of conversation or documents or what have you. So.
No, I don't have any evidence in this case, Judge, that it was.
Right? Just a trailing
device. I think it's more than a trailing device.
Why? What more?
Because it's much more intrusive. I think it's much more intrusive to an individual's privacy interests.
But the point is that
if
what the device makes possible, that is the surveillance, is perfectly constitutional without probable cause, without reasonable suspicion, then how is it that the actual physical placement of the device underneath the vehicle requires probable cause or reasonable suspicion?
Because the argument is that constitutes a seizure. When they place this device on the vehicle, and it's a seizure because it A, meaningfully interferes with an individual's possessory rights, because that individual has the right to exclude individuals from interfering with their personal property.
But the surveillance itself is okay, and that's all that device permits.
Well,
so what is it about the device itself and the installation of it that is unconstitutional?
It's because it constitutes a seizure. When they place that on there without probable cause and without a warrant, that's what allows the process of following them to begin. And if you look at United States v. Knotts.
A policeman came up to your car and knocked on the window. Say, I want to talk to you.
Well, I wouldn't talk to him. That's just me.
My question is, when he touches the window, is that a seizure of the car?
No.
So just touching somebody's property is not necessarily a seizure, right?
Not necessarily. Just touching it.
A seizure. You just fasten this little device and it drives around.
Because it interferes with an individual's right to exclude.
So does putting a parking ticket on the car in that sense?
Well.
Is that a seizure?
No, but you're not being, every intimate detail about your life isn't being downloaded because someone puts.
So what happens after the device is installed is what makes it a seizure. But we've already established that what happens after the device is installed is constitutional without
under Knox. The issue is does the Fourth Amendment apply to the actual installation of the device? That's what our argument is premised on. That yes, that constitutes a seizure. And I think
because of what the device is capable of doing.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Stengel. Mr. Reinhardt?
David Reinhardt for the United States from the Western District of Wisconsin. The crux or the main focus of this argument is whether there was a seizure, whether there was a meaningful interference with the defendant's possessory interest in his vehicle. And the Ninth Circuit in United States versus MacGyver in 1999 addressed this very issue, and they held that the attachment...
Wasn't this a trespass?
In this particular place, certainly it could be a trespass, yes. But the Fourth Amendment isn't necessarily implicated by a trespass. And the court in MacGyver held that the attachment of a magnetic GPS device to the undercarriage of a vehicle was not a search or seizure. And they reasoned in that particular case that the defendant's possessory rights weren't interfered with in a meaningful way. There was no interference with his dominion or control over the vehicle, and there was no damage to any of the electrical components in that particular car. And here we have a very similar case as
What if the device ran on the on the power generated by the car? What if it was attached to the axle, and its power source was the rotation of the wheels?
Well, you may have a different situation in that particular case. Yeah,
so what would that case be?
Where you're actually interfering with the mechanical...
You're drawing some energy from the car.
I guess you're taking, in that situation, you're could be taking power from the from that particular car, from the interior.
It's gasoline. Yeah.
That's correct, and I think that would be
What does that constitute?
I think that would be a different situation where you may have a seizure.
Why?
Because you're actually taking power from the interior of that vehicle and the mechanical workings of that particular vehicle, where in most of these GPS...
But you're only taking a little.
I'm not sure, but you are taking, you would be taking something from the interior, where this case...
Well, you said meaningful before. See, of course, the problem is, I think you have a strong case, but the argument on the other side, which is also strong, is that it's nice to have a kind of clean test in which you say, yeah, you can follow people around, you can take photographs, but you can't plant things on their property. You can't trespass. And even if it's a minor trespass, because then we have to distinguish between minor and major trespasses, right?
Well, I think that's where in each particular case there's going to have to be a determination.
It's very undesirable, actually, to have a separate assessment in each individual case, where the size of the device and, you know, could it cause electrical interference, this, that, and the other, would have to be inquired into.
That's correct, Your Honor, but in order to determine the meaningfulness, I think in this situation it would be difficult to just say that any placing any object just on the exterior of a car that doesn't affect the inside, that you have a test that's automatically a seizure. In this particular case, the defendant argues that there's a seizure because there's this right to exclude others from touching the vehicle, and that was taken from the dissent in United States versus Carroll. The Supreme Court in Carroll, the majority opinion, did not adopt that approach. The Supreme Court hasn't adopted that approach, and no other circuit has adopted that particular approach. And no other federal circuits have ever held that you need both a search warrant and probable cause to attach a beeper or GPS device to a vehicle.
I would add, when we just inject, does the United States have a position on this about, for instance, whether you need reasonable suspicion to attach or?
We did contact the Department of Justice, and they have no policy
no
on this.
No standard here. This is now you argue it's reasonable suspicion, which is okay. I guess if one's to argue anything, he says, well, wait a minute, you're using the defendant's power and his, you don't have to follow. You don't have to have employ someone to do this. It's all the defendant is doing everything, doing all the locating. All you do is just attach this thing, and it's a cheap way to do a surveillance, which is okay, I guess. But I'm just wondering if there is any reason to put a standard on this, reasonable suspicion or something else, or you just clamp it on there and you just got a hunch, or why not see if we can follow this guy? You need something more than that.
Well, as we argued in our brief, we feel that you actually don't even need reasonable suspicion to place that object on.
So is your position you could attach one of these things to every car in Chicago?
Under the Constitution?
You have a nice, you know, computer screen, and, you know, it follows every car, a million cars or so. But, I mean, you need, you know, data mining and so on. And then whenever someone speeds or someone drives into a neighborhood that you consider suspicious or is driving in some questionable way, then go after the person.
Well, under the Constitution, I believe if it's a device that does not intrude on the mechanical workings of the vehicle, I believe you could.
See, but how people would begin to get worried if they thought that every single car, it could be in the whole United States, that the movements of every single car are monitored by the police or the FBI. Wouldn't that raise a question about privacy?
It's certainly understand that concern, but practically, that would most likely never happen. And because of
police, it won't happen immediately. But as digital search and databases continue to advance at reckless speed, there will come a time, not in the distant future, where be quite feasible to have, 200 million cars monitored. And as I say, the British have a million surveillance cameras in England. They don't watch every single one, obviously they can't, but they make a film. And if anything happens, it's happened, July 2005 bombings, then they go and look, look at the film. So you can actually have a record of every American's automobile travels. Of course, the next step would be put a little something in everybody's shoe, right? That wouldn't impede walking. It wouldn't spoil the design or anything like that.
They do that in running races.
Do they really?
Yeah. Well, I can see where the shoe would be a little different, but once again, whatever's public, the Supreme Court has already indicated is fair game.
Why would the shoe be different? Assume the only thing this does is record where you go outside. It turns off as soon as you go inside. Just records it. Or you could have, embedded in the sidewalk or something to follow pedestrians everywhere.
Well, I think it's a little different in that there's a little more of an expectation of privacy on a person than there is on a vehicle. And I think that's where
I think people would be disturbed if they thought that because the police had installed a device behind their bumper, that that every trip they made and so on was potentially or actually monitored by the police, right?
Oh,
suppose the government said every car manufactured has to have this little tracking device. The way they're thinking of having every car required to have an alcohol monitor.
Well, I think that is a legitimate concern, and if those concerns If that, in fact, becomes the case, maybe the court would then consider a different standard. But as of right now, we don't have those particular concerns.
Did I hear you correctly in that you said that the Department of Justice doesn't have a uniform policy on this in this surveillance society that we live in?
They don't have, they don't have a specific policy on whether you have to go to a court beforehand based on reasonable suspicion or whether, it's no seizure at all. They don't.
Well, I don't think it's going to a court beforehand for reasonable suspicion. You can't get a reasonable suspicion warrant. Fourth Amendment requires probable cause for a warrant. I think the idea is that is with a Terry stop after the fact, the government has to show, if challenged, that there was reasonable suspicion.
Correct.
But I share Judge Sykes's puzzlement that the Justice Department would not want to have a uniform national rule on this.
We did contact the Department of Justice in this particular case, and that's what I can inform the court on.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And
thank you.
Mr. Stangl, do you have anything further? Yeah. I'll give you a minute.
In response to the government's argument, I think it's precisely the government's position, as they stated in their brief, that they don't believe they need a court order, a warrant, reasonable suspicion, or anything. And the problem with that is the potential for abuse and unlimited and unchecked governmental power. So if that's the case, then they can put one of these devices on anybody for any reason or no reason at all. And I think that is, in the age of advancing scientific advancements in digital technology and computers, a threat to an individual's privacy. And based on that, I think this court should analyze this in the context of a Fourth Amendment seizure and determine that probable cause and a warrant are required. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Stangl. And you were appointed.
Yes.
Thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your
Thank you, Your Honor.
And thanks also to Mr. Reinhardt. So our court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.